Landfall is imminent in South Florida as Ian begins to make his way ashore. They're clocking winds at 155 miles an hour, and some of the pictures will take your breath away. We will be connecting with Local 4's Kim Adams, who is down there in the middle of it, coming up at about 3:35 if the cell service will allow us. And so we'll keep you updated on that and what's happening, perhaps to areas where you have property or loved ones down in that area. We'll keep you updated. In the meantime, we've got a tempest brewing up in Lansing, and the eye of the storm is right over the state capitol. They got three storms converging here. One, this, some have called it, Porkerama bill, $1 billion in supplemental spending they're trying to force through, some of it for special projects, which haven't even been explained to the lawmakers who will be voting on them. Then we've got the whole issue about battery subsidies, whether or not we recharge that SOAR fund for a battery plant up in Big Rapids. And then we've got as well the idea of pre-processing absentee ballots. Three things to work on, and you can bet no one will be juggling all of these better than Craig Mauger, who covers state government and politics for the Detroit News. Craig, good afternoon.
Hey, I appreciate that. Sometimes I feel like I'm dropping some balls here while I'm trying to juggle them. It's a little difficult today in Lansing, I got to say.
The winds are blowing pretty strongly up there, too. Let's get to the breaking news, and that is, I understand that Representative Ann Bolin has confirmed that there is a deal to allow some forms of pre-processing of absentee ballots, hopefully so that voters will get their results in a timely manner.
Yeah, this is a big deal, especially for people who want to know who wins an election, you know, on election night. What we understand of this deal is that they are going to allow clerks 2 days to pre-process absentee ballots. Pre-process is a complicated word, but it essentially means they can begin handling the ballots. They can take the ballot, which is in a secrecy sleeve, so you can't see the ballot. You can take that secrecy sleeve out of the absentee envelope when people send the ballot back in. And you can begin to match the number on the envelope with the number that was assigned to the ballot previously. So those are two minor steps, but allowing clerks to begin doing those steps before election day, mm-hmm. just a whole bunch of work from the night of the election to before the election, thus saving hours and hours of time on election day.
In return, I understand that Republicans got some things that they wanted, which is more security at drop boxes. Yep. And also, hopefully, an accelerated process of cleaning up the voter rolls.
Yeah, they secured both of those concessions from Governor Whitmer. I mean, keep in mind, earlier this year and last year, Governor Whitmer was vetoing every election-related bill that the legislature was sending over to her desk. So the fact that the two sides were able to reach a compromise on this ahead of the election is a really big deal. And clerks are going to be very happy about this. This isn't everything clerks wanted, but it's something. And in 2020, these clerks were only given 1 day of pre-processing. So now they have 2 days. There will probably be fewer absentee ballots this election because it's a gubernatorial election instead of a presidential election. So maybe this will help get results even quicker.
So you and your colleagues at the Detroit News did a great job, and you and I discussed this last week about kind of an expose on this $1 billion, quote unquote, I'm doing air quotes, special projects appropriations. Those are coming up for a vote today. And you talk about a tempest. The appropriations chair took some pretty extreme action rather than vote for it. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so this morning, I mean, this is major news in Lansing. The chairman of the House Appropriations Committee resigned from his position over his frustration with this supplemental bill that's taking shape. On top of that move, you had the Republican nominee for governor, Tudor Dixon, speaking out against the supplemental spending bill. And the co-chairwoman of the Michigan Republican Party has also spoken out on Twitter this afternoon against this. This is a legislature that is controlled by Republicans. So there are very real divisions over how to move forward playing out here. You have one side saying we're spending too much money, and the other side is arguing that there are economic development deals on the table that could affect the future of Michigan. And if the state doesn't pounce now with these incentive deals, the state is going to miss out.
Well, some of those things, though, as you pointed out, were kind of questionable expenditures for very special interest-oriented recipients. and that in many cases, the lawmakers in those districts were not even aware that these things were up for funding. You did mention, and we know that this has been kind of an awkward thing within the Republican Party, this line between corporate welfare and sensible incentives for EV programs and things like that. And as you pointed out, Tudor Dixon at odds with her own legislature. Here's what she had to say. Cut one.
Your taxpayer dollars should be used to make sure your kids are getting a world-class education. You have a reliable infrastructure, that you have safe cities. But now we're seeing taxpayer dollars go into an adversary, a Chinese corporation. I just want you to know, under a Dixon administration, your taxpayer dollars will be used to make sure you are safe.
Craig, it seems like she's making this more about China than about the principle of whether or not these things actually deliver jobs and deliver a good return on investment. Do other Republicans feel that way? Are they still looking at this and saying, hey, there were five other states in line to take this battery plant that's going to Big Rapids, and that's 2,300 jobs we would lose in the process?
Yeah, and this kind of gets to everyone kind of speaking past each other at the current moment here, in that essentially we don't know how much money of what the legislature is going to approve today will actually end up going to this project in Big Rapids that Tudor Dixon is referring to with Goshen Incorporated. Essentially what they're doing today is setting money into this economic development fund, and then later they'll have to come back and approve possibly giving a large portion of this money to Goshen Incorporated. So lawmakers that I've spoken with today have basically said, hey, I don't even know what Tudor Dixon's talking about, because we're not giving any money to that company today. Again, a lot of lawmakers here don't even know as of right now, 3 p.m., where this money that they're going to be likely voting on later tonight is going to end up. You know, there might be money allocated to one purpose. What exactly is it going to end up going to? They don't know at this moment, and there is frustration among lawmakers on both sides of the aisle about this. The question will be, will there be enough things that lawmakers view as positives in this to outweigh the frustration they have with some elements of this? That's what's going to play out over the next few hours. But it is remarkable that essentially we are back in this situation where they're spending, you know, $1 billion in taxpayer money on projects, and there's a huge amount of uncertainty about where the money is going before the vote. This is essentially what happened with the state budget vote on July 1st, about 90 days ago.
Yeah, well, and here's the thing that you pointed out in your piece today, that as they're debating this and having this question about what exactly is going to be packed into this supplemental bill and how much of it is pork and how much of it is meaningful incentives, they're all going to be heading off to fundraisers after, Republicans and Democrats, and that the optics of that just aren't very appealing.
Yeah, it's very possible that, you know, it's 3 o'clock now. There's supposed to be two major fundraisers, one for the Senate Democrats, one for the House Republicans, that begin at 4:30. And it seems likely that they'll take a break from session to go to those fundraisers and then possibly return after those fundraisers to vote on these bills. I mean, that is a real possibility this afternoon. They argue that these fundraisers have been scheduled for many months, and it's just a coincidence that it ended up this way. But it does point to the political and electoral pressure that is playing out today as well on these lawmakers, because this could be the last major day of voting before the November 8th election, where every seat in the House and every seat in the Senate will be on the ballot.
Craig, it's going to just get curiouser and curiouser as the day goes on, and we'll see what happens with this supplemental. I know guys like Steve Johnson not happy with the way this thing has rolled out, and we will read all about it in the Detroit News, thanks to you.
Well, hopefully I'm not here by this time tomorrow.
Yeah, those all-nighters just don't have as much allure as they used to when we were all a heck of a lot younger. Craig, do take care, and we thank you for your time. And we turn We turn this question over to you. Do you agree with Tudor Dixon in this case that we shouldn't be giving tax incentives to those communities that ultimately benefit corporations, or in this case, a Chinese corporation? Or does that even matter? Jobs are jobs. And don't we want foreign companies putting their jobs and their manufacturing businesses here in the state of Michigan? Your calls on that just ahead, 1-800-859-0957, 1-800-859-0WJR.